Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. An excellent service department and sales staff. Whether it's something in the service department, you need a new part, you need a state inspection, you need to get an oil change, they got you covered. You're buying a pre-owned or new car, of course, they got you covered there, too. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Another loaded show coming up today. We got all three more mystery guests coming up today. Just have to find out when they'll be and who they'll be. So looking forward to that once again as we continue our 10th anniversary celebration. Got a couple more tomorrow as well. And also Bob Nightingale tomorrow from the USA Today on the latest with the baseball lockouts and looming the late start of spring training. Lots to get into with him. That'll be tomorrow at 4:35 along with the other mystery guests. So we got a loaded show the rest of the way. So very much... looking forward to that. Now, a couple things on the docket here today, at least for me. So, yes, this will be complaint number one. And that is Jim Harbaugh. I said on the show yesterday, giving my honest opinion, as I always do, that he's a stupid person. And he truly is. What he did yesterday was very dumb. To go in on an interview with an NFL team on National Signing Day, I get it's the second portion, but still, it doesn't matter. And you just do so many things to yourself and to the school for what ended up being for no apparent reason. He obviously wanted that NFL job. It seemed like it, at least in my view. Because the more I've heard today about what went on, he was there for 9 hours yesterday. Now, normally when you have that long of a meeting, sometimes you don't leave. Sometimes an agreement's made, an offer's made. But it sounded like the Vikings were making him work instead of him making the Vikings work. And first of all, what track record lately? I know he did pretty well in the NFL. I get that. He went to a Super Bowl with the Niners. He had a fairly successful winning record. I get that. But right now, after all that he's been through in Michigan, how does he come up with the goyunes to go back into the NFL and say, hey, I'm here. Make me want to come here. Really? What's wrong with you? I mean, that's just so typical Jim Harbaugh and what he is. The amount of ego he has picked up in the last 2-3 months after he's been mediocre at best leading Michigan, couldn't even win a big game, couldn't beat Ohio State. All of a sudden, you do all that this season, and you feel like you're the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, get real. The Vikings handled that perfectly and making him sweat, and then like, oh, you figured, oh, I don't want the job. I mean, that's just lazy. I mean, that just proves me right there, you're not the guy. And I know Michigan's elated that they're not going to have him back. I think, and see, this is the other problem too with Michigan, and Stephen alluded to this yesterday, talking about, well, actually he's alluded to this several times, and talking about Tom Brady and how everybody wanted Drew Henson over Tom Brady, and Lloyd Carr said no, and went with Tom Brady, and now everybody's got pride for Tom Brady as a Michigan alum. Well, you didn't want him then, now you want him now. They're all ready to get Harbaugh out the door, and now because he finally did everything that he said he would years later after taking the Michigan job, now they're elated to have him back. I mean, just this whole back and forth is kind of embarrassing, quite frankly. This guy has beaten Ohio State, gone to a college football playoff, and won a Big Ten title. Sure, it was all done in 1 year, but he's only done it one time. Is this guy really that good a head coach? I don't know. I really don't. Especially on the college side of things. And I don't agree with him at all in most cases, but Paul Feinbaum today on ESPN, I think, said it perfectly. He held Michigan hostage. He's exactly right. There's no other way to put it. I don't know. The whole thing, the way Jim Harbaugh handled that situation, if I'm a recruit, I'm saying I'm out. Even if I'm a booster, I'd be pretty PO'd on how this was all handled. Now, we'll see how this ultimately affects Michigan going forward. But once again, Jim Harbaugh continues to make very, very dumb decisions.
I heard the words dumb decisions. Obviously, we're on a roll whining again.
I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh. He really is a dope. I mean, seriously, who comes up, who has the goyunes to go back, to go into an NFL team and be like, hey, come hire me, I'm ready. Make me an offer. But yet, then they make him work for it and think, no, this is how this is going to work. You tell us what you're going to do for us. And then he walks out after 9 hours, and then he gets to go back to Michigan. I mean, what a weasel.
Okay. All right. As you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm a big fan of Jim Harbaugh, okay? But I can tell you right away, my first thought was, when you watch him in press conferences or in interviews, my first question is always is how well is a guy like that going to interview? And again, I've never once talked to him in private, so I don't know. Maybe he interviews beautifully. I have no idea. But it is a question you do have to ask. You know, how well is a guy who struggles in interviews with the media and struggles in press conferences, which he does, how well is he going to interview? And I was like, that's going to be interesting to see. I guess the way it was going yesterday is that the way I read it, and there's a story in The Athletic about it, that it started out going pretty well, and then they said, and they don't know why, the person who wrote the article didn't know why, but they said right around 3 o'clock, everything just started to turn, because something that is that is interesting with him is that a lot of it dealt with, not with Michigan, but the Niners. That there have been stories he had been difficult to work with or work around. And the question was going to be, how would, you know, the question, the and that's about the time the tough questions started coming up in the interview. And I think in the end, the Vikings decided they weren't going to hire him. Well, if you're not going to hire him, and you got a job, as I tell my students all the time, see if you get a job when you got a job. So he went back. So I don't think that's a weasel thing. I just think it's just he went there and it didn't work. And the guy interviewing, one of the lead guys interviewing him, had worked with him in San Francisco. So he knew what questions to ask because he was there. But it had a previous working relationship with him, the new GM, and he wanted to bring him in. And Harb, you know, and right now in college sports, you know, to be honest with you, I expect at some point a couple more college coaches to start leaning toward getting interviews for pro jobs, because right now there's no structure in college sports. You're out there having to re-recruit your team the whole time. What would you rather do, draft or re-recruit your team all the time?
Well, that's a fair question, and that would be draft.
Yeah. So you always hate when I come on the show and I approach it logically. You hate that.
He can go for the job. I'm just saying the way he approached it was wrong.
He told recruits, hey, look, I might be looking at an NFL job. He did tell recruits that. So it's not like he flew into Minneapolis under the cover of darkness and interviewed. Everybody knew he was interviewing. The surprise was, to a lot of people, is he didn't get it. And they're going to go probably with O'Connell, the offensive coordinator for the Rams, which is interesting because I don't think O'Connell calls the plays for the Rams. Last I checked, it looked like Sean McVay.
Correct.
I don't know. The NFL is...
It's been a weird coaching searching.
Well, I mean, it's...
A lot of weird hirings.
Well, I'll give you an example. People are claiming, there's some people who claim Eric Bieniemy is not getting a job because Andy Reid calls all the plays. You can tell Eric Bieniemy is calling the plays.
Yeah, that's definitely wrong. Andy Reid's even said that.
I mean, which one of the two is holding the card up to his headset before the play? It's obviously Eric Bieniemy. It's obvious. Okay? And so, I mean, that's ridiculous. And John Elway came out swinging today in his defense when it came to the Broncos interview with Brian Flores. He said, excuse me, we interviewed a candidate the night before, and I believe, he didn't say this, but I believe that candidate they interviewed the night before in Denver was Mike Munchak. Okay? And we then, at Brian Flores' request, because the Patriots were in the playoffs, we flew to Providence overnight. And we interviewed him at 7:30 in the morning at his request. So they did everything Brian Flores asked them to do. So he was part of the process and what's going on. They made the extra effort to go to him and interview him after taking an overnight flight from Denver. That bears some watching here as to what's going on. Because, again, there's two sides to everything. How much what Brian Flores is saying, you know, what he thinks. And obviously Elway came out today and said, are you kidding me? He says, we went to him.
Yeah, good for him for making those comments.
Now, let's go all the way back. The root of all this is the Miami Dolphins. Okay? We said it right away. What are they firing him for? That made no sense. It made no sense. And these allegations about tanking. The question I have is going to be, does this play out in such a way? Does this play out in such a way where Roger Goodell has to take the role of Adam Silver and treat Stephen Ross and get him out the way Adam Silver played a role in getting Donald Sterling out in Los Angeles with the Clippers? I'm only bringing that up because it's something that in the end you have to wonder if that is a solution here.
That is very, very interesting.
That's why I'm on the show.
I personally would like to see it happen because I think Stephen Ross is bad for the NFL.
And he's the one that's deeply connected with the University of Michigan and with Harbaugh. It's one of the reasons that people think he won't hire Harbaugh is he doesn't want him to leave Michigan to, you know, and take him away. I don't know. Great to have you with us on the show today. Today's show is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Come back with more in a moment. Once again, show where I quietly outline what probably is happening after Matt calls the individual a dope. Oh, my goodness. Mystery guests all over the place the next 2 days.
That's right. We're finishing off the week with a bang.
Ay. All right. Okay. Well, tonight I got Mark Pavlik and Micah Shrewsbury on the coaches show tonight. So, I mean, that part, at least I know what I'm doing. Okay. We can't fit the king. Can we fit the king in tomorrow at 3:15?
I can see if we can arrange for that.
Yeah, I'd like to see the king on the show if it's possible. Maybe we can fit him in at 3:15 tomorrow. How about that?
We'll see if we can make it work.
Yeah. All right, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Anybody else you want to call a dope before we... No?
Nah, I think we're good.
They ranked the top 25 baseball players of all time at ESPN.
Oh, boy.
Babe Ruth was one. Barry Bonds was eight. Mike Schmidt made the top 25. Schmidt came in at 18. In back of Roger Clemens, Clemens was 17. DiMaggio was 16. Mike Trout was 15. Greg Maddux, Ken Griffey Jr., Honus Wagner, Pedro Martinez, 11. Stan Musial, Walter Johnson, Barry Bonds, 8. Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams, Ty Cobb, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, 2. Babe Ruth, 1.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Your trade-in's never been worth more. And on top of that, you have a great service department, whether it's routine, whether it's inspections or diagnostics, they can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, I guess our next mystery guest has to sign in. So, welcome to the show.
I am signing in as called and asked for, the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Doug.
Yes. How are you doing, Steve? Congratulations, Doug, on 10 outstanding years.
Oh, my almighty!
You know, after I survived the first four, all right, that's something you have to deal with every day. All right.
every Saturday, at least.
Oh, there are other instances probably you have to deal with it, too.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
That's why I heard the commercial for, why don't you, give your loved one a star. And I thought, that's why he got himself a star. That's who he loves. All right. So.
You know him too well.
So let's talk about Bucknell for a moment. This has not been the easiest times. And this is something that when you do the jobs that Doug and I do, don't sit there and think winning doesn't play a role in how you feel about how everything's going on. You know, because as much as we love our jobs, you know, when it's over, you want to be talking to the winning coach. So how have you been able to handle and negotiate what was it, you know, a tough football season, it's been a tough basketball season, and keep that positive attitude that makes every Bucknell broadcast sound like it's a home game?
Well, I heard you actually on your show last week or the week before, Steve, saying that you basically just have to call the game. You know, there are going to be tough games, and it's not easy because you, and you know this better than anyone, you gain a relationship with the players and the coaches. So it is more than just a game for someone who is with the team all the time that we are with those individual teams. So it is a little bit difficult. Certainly it is for me. It's hard for me to divorce myself from the team, from the coaches. And I have always kind of likened myself to a fan behind the mic. So I think I do take my play-by-play to a different level than many people do in that sense. But I think the biggest thing is you just have to continue to be positive and know that things are going to get better. I certainly believe that. I've been here long enough in Bucknell and seen Bucknell basketball enough times that things will get better. And actually, you know, I know the Bison lost last night at Colgate, but yeah, they led by 16 points and I think played much better in this game on the road than what Bucknell did the first time these two teams met. So I do believe this team, which I know at this stage of the year, you can't really say they are inexperienced, but they are still in comparison to some of the teams, particularly Colgate last night. And you just kind of, you know, hey, just see the positives that are happening, watching the growth of, you know, the youngsters, those who don't have a whole lot of experience, which they may or may not be freshmen or sophomores. They could be even juniors and not have a ton of experience. And just kind of, you know, enjoy the ride, as they say. Every year is a journey, and you just kind of have to take it as they come. And, you know, you die a little with the team when they lose, and you rejoice with them when they win.
Well, it's interesting as you talk about, you know, at this stage they're not young, except it's February 3rd right now. You and I both know that especially for younger players, they either haven't played a lot or haven't practiced a lot. They're doing more now than they ever have. And I think it does play a role in their legs. It gets to them mentally a little bit. Then after about the middle of February, when they fight through it, they're okay. But this is a tough time of the year for young players.
It really is. I mean, I always like in the February portion, you always hear about the grind that football goes into towards the end. November, for instance, in football, I always look at February as that grind period for all of basketball, because you've been through the non-league, you've been through a good portion of your league, and you're getting closer and closer to the postseason, the Patriot League tournament in this case, Big Ten tournament in Penn State's case, and it does become a grind, particularly for those freshmen who really, about now, they would be starting their postseason in high school. And one interesting thing, too, Steve, they had the men's and women's basketball luncheon over at the Bull Run Inn in downtown Lewisburg earlier today. And I thought it was really interesting because Coach Nathan Davis on the men's side brought the whole freshman class there. And it was interesting because to a person, those freshmen never met any of the Bucknell team, their teammates, basically, until they made it to campus. Until they made it to campus in late August, early September, that was the first time they had ever met them. I mean, usually when you're on a recruiting visit, you stay overnight with some of the team players and stuff. So it's so interesting that these individuals, and there are four of them on the team this year that are freshmen for Bucknell, that they just now are getting to know, in some aspects, their own teammates. So, you know, and that's not just on the basketball court, but off the court. And you know it. When you're a team, you're a family. And when you bring in four adoptees, if you will. It takes some time for them to learn how everything is done, and it's just, it's a process. And Buck Bell is in the midst of that process, maybe more than any other team in the Patriot League this year.
And that's hard because of the pandemic, the way that the recruiting schedule was. It is all a new experience for them to get in and suddenly meet everybody at once. How difficult is it for programs in Bucknell's position? Because Jimmy Sotos ended up going to Ohio State. Nace Sestina ended up going to Kentucky, where the Power Five programs are, quote, poaching the best players from programs like Bucknell that are terrific and would be even better if they kept these players.
That was another question, actually, which was brought up at the luncheon today, Steve, and that is, what about the transfer portal? And certainly it affects Buck Bell in the sense that Jimmy Sotos would have been a senior this year. Nate Sestina, of course, would not have been, but Nate went to Kentucky. Jimmy's still at Ohio State. But it goes further than that. Buck Bell does not offer very many, in fact, probably three graduate programs. One is in education, and there may be one or two others. Like, one is engineering, but you really have to be along that track your whole career before you would go into it for a master's program. So Buck Bell, unlike, say, Boston University, which has four of its five starters back that are fifth-year players this year, and they have grad programs at Boston University, which is one of the bigger universities around the country in terms of numbers of students and programs, et cetera. And so if somebody asks, what about the transfer portal? Well, Buck Bell not only has lost Jimmy Sotos and a couple of years ago Nate Sestina. Well, this year, I mean, conceivably, John Meeks, who averaged 25 points a game, could be back playing for Buck Bell, but he's playing and averaging about 17 or 18 for the College of Charleston. You had Paul Newman, who conceivably could have been back this year, but he's playing his extra year at Albany and was starting. Now he's coming off the bench, but had a career high in points and rebounds a couple of games ago, and Albany started to play really well in the America East. You have Walter Ellis, who is now playing at Grand Canyon University. So, the portal, a lot of people look at it, and it does happen, and we've seen it here in Buck Bell, to where the bigger P5, or however you want to describe them, programs do poach some of these schools like Bucknell, Patriot League, maybe Ivy League, or, maybe America East. It could be even Atlantic 10. Not as much. Could be. They do poach them, but shucks, we're finding out that there are some other schools that are poaching our kids that might be Atlantic 10 or, CAA in the case of the College of Charleston, or America East in the case of Paul Newman up in Albany. So, the transfer portal definitely is affecting us. I don't know that it's affected a ton of other programs in the Patriot League this year, but down the road, I can see it. Lehigh has a couple of really good freshman guards, one really good, one that's good. I could see them, being approached, and I don't know how legally you do that. I don't know if it is legal, but, through back channels, that happens. I can see those guys being approached, maybe even as early as next year. Who knows?
Well, here's another element, too. How does it affect the scheduling? I mean, I know people can track everybody, but I know of some coaches that have been shy about scheduling certain Power Five teams because they don't want to showcase their talent.
That's an excellent point. I haven't talked to our coaches about that. I know that, Buck Bill is scheduled to play at a pretty big school next year. So we'll see how that all arranges and works out. But it is interesting you say that. Before all this, Buck Bell, and not its last NCAA appearance, but the one right before that, Buck Bell played at West Virginia University up at Buffalo, and Nada Fallon had a really good game. And he was a junior, was going to be a senior next year. And Coach Davis, he may have mentioned this to you on his show, or on your show when he's been on it before, Steve, but he had said when West Virginia won the game by 7 points, whatever it was, and they're in the handshake line, and Coach Huggy Bear, Coach Bob Huggins at WVU, he is shaking the hand of Coach Davis, and he goes, "Hey, your center's really good." And Coach Davis said, he kind of grabbed Coach Huggins' hand really tight and said, please don't try and get him from us. But even at that time, you know, the fear was out there that somebody could do it. Now, in that case, Nada would have had to have sat out a year. But now, in the transfer portal, those are kind of becoming a lot more easy for players to do it and be able to play immediately.
You've had to do a lot of games in the past year because you had the spring season and the fall season as well. Obviously, after doing nothing, it had to be refreshing. But what kind of grind was it to go from a spring schedule to a fall schedule to a winter schedule?
Well, probably the most difficult part was working with Kevin Herr. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me take him back.
No, it is something, again, one of the important elements of this show over the years has been my ability to provide therapy on the air. Matt can tell you firsthand.
100%.
Yes. No, joke. All joking aside, that was difficult. You know, spring football, but we also had baseball, we had softball,
right.
We had men's lacrosse, we had women's lacrosse. So that was kind of crazy when you had zero activity athletics wise in the fall. When you would have field hockey, well, we had field hockey in the spring. We had men's soccer and women's soccer. Now those games, because our field wasn't—it's a natural grass surface—it wasn't able to be cleared off, and there was so much snow, if you recall last winter, the soccers didn't really get to play at home, so we didn't carry their games. They played a couple of different places around this region, but we carried field hockey, we carried women's lacrosse, men's lacrosse, you know, along with football, baseball, softball. So that was kind of nerve-wracking at times, trying to get all the games on ESPN Plus and so forth, but you know, as you said, without, since we didn't have a whole lot to do in the fall, it was good just to get back into somewhat of a more normal regiment, although granted, this was kind of hyper speed, if you will.
What is it like when you're doing football and actually you are the TV broadcasters while also being radio? Do you alter how you do the game because of that?
Well, actually, what we decided was to bring someone else in for our home games for football in the spring, and we've actually done that again for basketball here in this winter. So we have Sam Cooperman, who is doing our men's basketball games on 100.9 The Valley, sister station to WKOK. And then in the spring, we had Joe Vasil, who Joe was just hired as the main play-by-play announcer.
Hudson Valley Renegades.
Exactly. Yes. So he has done a terrific job with us. He was doing the radio play-by-play that time on Eagle 107 in the spring for football. So basically what Kevin and I did and Terry Conrad and I do in basketball this year is just a TV broadcast. So, you know, I'll call it, but as you well know, you've done enough television or that, you know, something like that. I just am there. It's more Terry's show, and believe it or not, it's more Kevin Herr's show for football than it is me, because, you know, television, you can see what's going on. It's more of a analyst-driven type of medium, if you will.
Under pressing. All right, so...
Oh, my almighty!
Doug, I have nothing but the greatest of respect for your work, great admiration for it. We're good friends, and I'm proud to call you a friend. Thank you so much for doing this and calling in today. It means a lot that you did.
You, sir, are my hero!
I appreciate that all that you do. I mean, you know, it's not easy to always have someone to look up to in the broadcast realm. I look up to you so immensely, and you have done, it's amazing, because when people think of Penn State, whether it's football, basketball, really almost any sport, they think of Steve Jones. And I don't know that there is any higher compliment that could be given to you. And I know you do an outstanding job on this show. Matt obviously runs things behind the scenes and does a tremendous job. And you know what? Okay, I'll throw the suit a little bit of a bone. Kevin, he was kind of the one who helped to run the show at the beginning. So we'll give him a little bit of praise.
Yeah, little is a good word. All right. So, Doug, thank you. Thank you for the very kind words. I appreciate that. And we will talk again soon, my friend.
All right, Steve. Take care and keep up the great work.
You too, Doug. Thank you. Doug Birdsong. lot of suit references in there. But I kind of felt like on each one of them, I got it back on track as to who he really is. No?
Kind of, I guess. We made it work.
Oh, we love the suit. Don't worry about it. All right. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
They always are prepared to play, even though they may wind up playing three games in four nights. You know that they're always going to deliver the show. That's why Phil Jackson, when asked whether he was watching the NBA playoffs, said, "No, I'm watching NHL."
Yeah. By the way, I guess Olympic coverage begins tonight. Is that correct?
Yep, opening ceremonies are tonight, but there were some sports that started last night, including U.S. women's ice hockey team.
Yeah, one of the top players for the U.S. got hurt.
I saw.
They beat Finland. It's going to be catch as catch can on the Olympics. And I'll tell you right now, if there's a game that's being played, like, for example, I watched Illinois-Wisconsin last night. Because Penn State plays Wisconsin next, there's a game where I got to watch. Get ready for the next game. I'm watching it. I don't care what's on the Olympics. This is my job. Wisconsin, by the way, because of the bad storm in the Midwest, had to stay overnight last night after the game, and they could not fly out of Champaign this morning. They had to bus back to Madison. So it's what, I don't know, about 250 miles on a bus. Yeah, very exciting. But, yeah. Bengals arriving unusually late for Super Bowl. Really? How late is late? Let's see. The game's at 6:30. Are they going to get there at 5? No? Second straight year, only one team has to travel for the Super Bowl. Second straight year, the team will be arriving host city later than usual. Blah, blah, blah. It won't take long for the Bengals to get acclimated to the weather. I'd send them out there sooner just to get out of this. The Bengals will go on Tuesday night. That's fine. I think that's plenty of time.
So then I guess opening night is virtual again.
One of my students is covering it. Everything's virtual, but Thursday they get people live.
Gotcha. Well, that's a great start for your student.
There are several students here that are going, and so I spent the first half of the class about how to cover Super Bowl Media Day.